Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Superman Sunday episode, and today we're going to be talking about Superman number 10, The Wrath of Jor-El. On the cover, we see Superman and Jor-El trading some punches. Don't actually get that in the issue, everybody, so not quite the moment where Superman's going to confront his father about what's happened to John being gone for years in his own timeline. And it's only been 3 weeks for Lois and Clark. But let's get to the story. As you remember last time, John had finally managed to escape the volcano where Ultraman had imprisoned him and traveled across the world of Earth 3, home to the crime syndicate. And maybe not the best idea, but couldn't think of anything better, breaks into the headquarters of the crime syndicate, knowing that it is analogous to the Hall of Justice back on his own world, knowing there's all kinds of advanced technology there and communication equipment, and hoping to be able to find some way to send a message to his parents or some sort of beacon, some way to call attention to where he's trapped because he doesn't have the power to escape the world on his own. And then, of course, while he was there, no sooner had he broken in than he's confronted by Superwoman, the Lois Lane of Earth 3, who has superpowers. So this issue starts off with a splash page. She's yelling, "Come here, little Superboy," taking a big swing at him as he's running away. And John is relaying this to his parents, saying, yeah, after being trapped in a volcano, prison, and an alternate dimension by an evil version of my dad, for years, I managed to escape, try to sneak into an evil Justice League headquarters to find some way to yell home to you. And instead, I find the only thing I can imagine worse than an evil version of my father, and that is an evil version of my mother, an evil, superpowered version of my mother, in fact. So my actual mother never tries to kill me with superpowers she doesn't actually have. So this was not fun. And we get a quick interlude here where we see Lois and Clark and John standing in the Fortress of Solitude, and the look on the parents' face are like, oh man, can't believe you had to go through this. And John is saying, I'm okay, Mom. I'm telling you how I got home. You said you wanted to know. And Lois saying, it's not okay, John. Every time you tell us another part of this story, it's more horrifying than the last. And John's like, well, you wanted me to tell you. And Lois is like, yeah, just, you know, as a parent, you want to protect your child. And so John's like, Mom, Dad, listen, I wasn't going to fight her, you, whatever. I'm not fighting my mom. And it was good. I found out that I didn't have any kind of pent up stuff that this might have triggered. You know, I was angry at you and I was holding it in or something. This would have been the perfect time. But just like looking at an evil version of my dad made me miss my dad, looking at this evil version of you, it just, more than anything, it just made me homesick. And we see that the fight between Superwoman and John over that Earth 3 version of Metropolis is going on when all of a sudden, from out of the blue, Superwoman is just blasted by this huge energy blast. And John said, finally, I had a bit of good luck. And he turns around and he sees there's Jor-El looking much, much older than the last time John had seen him. He has a beard now and you know, a lot more age in the face. And he's holding this giant gun. And there's a bunch of Kryptonian battle bots around him. And John yells out, Grandpa! And Jor-El's like, get behind me. So John relays his parents saying, yeah, they hadn't had such good luck in so long. It took me a second to process what was going on. And Grandpa looked at least 10 years older, and everything about him just seemed different. And we see Superwoman has recovered, and she's flying toward Jor-El and John. Jor-El fires at her again, saying, is there any unfinished business you have with this woman, John? John's like, heck no. She was just chasing me around the planet because she's mean and drunk. So Jor-El's like, all right, then we leave. And he opens up some sort of transporter, and they vanish. And all that's left for Superwoman to take her frustrations out on are the Kryptonian battle bots, which she dispatches of quickly, screaming in rage that her target has been removed. She wasn't able to beat the crap out of this sun from another reality. So meanwhile, John and Jor-El show back up on his ship, and Jor-El's telling him, okay, stand up. I need the ship to scan you and sterilize you. You just experienced emergency interdimensional travel with no preparation at all. So we need to do an examination and make sure there's no internal damage, make sure everything got transported and put back in the right place, basically. And then I need you to tell me everything that happened to you. And I mean everything. So please stand up and the ship will take care of everything. And John's saying, hey, thanks, Grandpa. Really, I really want to thank you. And Jor-El's like, Grandpa? Oh yeah, I forgot that you had had called me that. And John says, yeah, I almost lost it out there. I was, you know, so far from home, I almost lost hope. And oh man, I got to call Mom and Dad and Damien. Do they think I'm dead? I've been gone for so long. And Jor-El's like, yeah, where did you go? And John's like, what? Yeah, the ship went through a wormhole and you just disappeared. Where did you go? Why did you run away from me? And John's like, no, that's not what happened. And Jor-El's like, yeah, you told me you wanted to run away from me. And then you ran away from me the first chance you got. And John's like, no, I wanted to go home. But if I was going to ditch you, Grandpa, I would have gone home. Like I went through the black hole and I just ended up there on Earth 3. And Jor-El's like, man, I've been searching for years. You have no idea the lengths and the depths I've gone to, the deals I've made. You just have no idea. And John's like, what did you have to do? What did you do? And Jor-El doesn't answer him. Instead, he hands him a box. It's a costume, a Superman costume with the House of L emblem on it. He says, this is for you. Put it on. And John's like, wait a second. How many years has this been for you? How long have you been searching for me? And Jor-El's like, I couldn't go back to Earth without you. When I finally figured out that the wormhole we got sucked into wasn't just a wormhole, it was also a time flux on top of the tear in the dimensional space. And it was all brought on by an apocalyptic event at the source wall. John's like, what's a source wall? And we know this to be, you know, basically a consequence of the source wall being broken at the end of the DC Metal event. And Jor-El's like, this is why space travel is so unappealing. But at least when I knew you were lost in time and space, I knew I was going to have a harder time finding you because there's so many more variables. I'm sure you can imagine, but it's almost infinite. I didn't know how far backward or forward in time, but I never gave up. I never gave up. So John, you were thrown back in time a lot of years and you have been gone for a lot of years and you stayed there and you grew up and now you've caught up to today by me bringing you here. And so to them, to your Earth parents, you've been gone about 22 days, 22 Earth rotations. And they have no idea that you were even missing for years at all. And John's like, wait, 3 weeks? I've only been gone 3 weeks? When for him, it's been years, right? And this is how the whole aging up thing happened. And Jor-El says, yeah, of course, they're going to know as soon as they see you, it's been a lot longer than 3 weeks for you. So John's like, shit, I need to go home right now. And Jor-El starts to say something, we don't know what, because right at that moment he says, John, I, and there's a giant boom and we see Jor-El's ship being attacked by a bunch of different vessels. And John saying, is it her? Is it the evil mom? Did she follow us? They're like, no, we're back in our own dimension. This has got to be something else. And at that moment, there's a hull breach and John starts to get sucked out into space. He manages to grab a side of the hull that's been ripped in the ship. And we see Rogal Zar is behind the attack and he's reaching out toward John, trying to grab him. Jor-El pulls out some sort of energy rod, fires it at John. And it's some sort of teleportation device again, because John is immediately teleported back to Earth to a shopping mall of all places. He falls through the skylight of the shopping mall, lands in a fountain of water, stands up, sees the date, June 6th, and says, where am I? Is this Idaho? They say, no, Wisconsin. Okay, Wisconsin, cool. And yeah, based on the date, I've only been gone 3 weeks. Oh, no. And then the scene shifts back to present time. He's talking to Lois and Clark in the Fortress of Solitude once again. And he says, yeah, and then I went to find you and here I am. And Superman is standing there looking at his son saying, so that large creature that was storming the ship that had blasted the hole in the side, what did he look like again? Can you describe him? John says, yeah, he was chalky white. And he starts describing Rogal Zaar. And Superman is looking down knowing that this is not good, because as far as he knew, Rogal Zaar was trapped in the Phantom Zone. So Lois asks, well, how bad is this? And Superman says, John, did you hear him say anything? John says, well, no, the hull was breached. There was no air, couldn't hear anything. And I love this next panel. This next panel, the artwork by Yvonne Reese is so great. Like, it's just Superman's face, and it's not even his whole face. The top of his head is cut off and the bottom of his chin. So you're really focused on the features, and you can just see the concern on his face as Superman says, you know, you've been through a lot, John. Do you need to stay here on Earth, or are you ready to suit up and come back out with me? And John, without hesitation, suit up, sir. And then again, the look of pride on Superman's face in the next panel is also done very well. It's clear how much he loves his son and how proud he is of him. So as John is preparing to leave, Superman is telling Lois, I can't believe I have to leave again. We're in the middle of so much. Lois is like, I'll handle Leviathan. You handle your dad, because I blame him for everything. And they're like, no, don't joke. We've missed so much. We really have. But don't worry, we're going to make up for lost time. And Superman says, okay, we'll be back as soon as we can. And Superboy or John Kent says his goodbyes to his mother as well, saying, Lois is saying, I'm so proud of you, so proud that you were able to get your butt back home. And John's like, it took so long. And Lois like, it was a couple of weeks. And John says, well, you're taking this really well. She says, really, I'm not, but you're still you. So go kick grandpa's butt and come back home. So Superman's telling John, look, this might be different than the other trips because we have no idea what we're going to find out there. But no matter what, you need to stick with me. You stay right by my side. And right as they're about to leave, Lois is like, well, can you guys tell me exactly where you're going in case I need to call the Justice League or the Green Lantern Corps? Because I might call them anyway, even if you guys tell me that you don't think I need to. And at that moment, all of a sudden, Superman and John start to glow with this incredible amount of energy. And then they fly up at an incredible speed with John yelling, Dad! He's like, hold on. And John saying, I didn't know this suit did this. You know, I worried what grandpa meant by this, but Superman reminds him, John, whatever happens out there, you stay with me. We stay together. This is not going to be like last time. And as they arrive at the site of Jor-El's ship, there's this massive, massive space battle going on. We see Thanagarians. We see Rogal Zaar's forces. We just see this, all these ships, all these different factions or some aliens that I don't even recognize. They're all attacking Jor-El and attacking each other. So it's clear that there's some kind of big intergalactic war or battle or something. And whether or not this has to do with the deals that Jor-El made to go and find John or something else, they're after him for some other reason, we just don't know. But we do get the title here the credits. The Unity Saga, The House of El, Part 4, written by Brian Michael Bendis, Yvonne Reese and Brandon Peterson handle the art, Eau Claire, Albert, and Joe Prado doing the inks, Alex Sinclair on colors, Josh Reed on letters. So as much as people don't like the fact that John was aged up, Bendis did come up with a logical explanation for it, you know, as logical as you can be in comics. I still don't necessarily agree with that decision. Like a lot of Superman fans, like probably a lot of you listening, I feel like we got cheated out of years of really great John stories of him growing up. But, you know, one of our other Superman Sunday episodes today, I talked to Philip K. Johnson, and he reminds us that it doesn't mean John can't be de-aged again in the future at some point. Kind of hard to do it right now because he's part of the Legion of Superheroes. And Philip K. Johnson doesn't want to just go in and completely undo everything that Bendis did, because it's very disrespectful to what Bendis did, whether you like it or not. And it's also disrespectful for people and fans who did like it. right? You can't just have every writer come in and undo everything that was done before. And you feel like, well, what the heck did I read it for? And there's also a lot of fertile ground there. Philip K. has talked about that as well, where here's a character, John Kent, who has been aged up, skipped over a bunch of years, or not necessarily skipped them, but grew up isolated, didn't have a loving father and mother at that time. What does that do to you as a kid? What does it do to him? Like, he doesn't really have a home in a way. You know, he's born in a different dimension, a different time in the DC universe. Then he came to this earth, but took a different name and couldn't even be himself. And now he's grown up, you know, had this vast period of formative years where he didn't have his mother and father there. There's a lot of potential for story there. What does that do to you? What trauma is it? What problems would it bring about? So it's tough. It's tough for John, and it is kind of a good way to have a starting point for a story. So I think there is value there. And again, just like Philip said, there's no reason you can't go back at some point and de-age him, or just go back and tell those stories, or, you know, read the Digital First Super Sons story, right? There's still stories that can be told when John is younger. I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for what Bendis did, because I would prefer it had not have happened. But I agree that Philip K. Johnson can't just come in here and reverse everything, you know, snap his fingers and roll it all back. It doesn't quite work that way. So it all makes sense. The loop has been closed here for how John got back and how he aged up. And for me, the biggest part isn't even how it affected John, is how it affects Lois, how it affects Superman. How do they deal with it? To me, that would be just as traumatic as what John has gone through. So am I a fan of Superman by Bendis? No, I think everybody knows that at this point. But I do prefer the Superman title to the action title, which is more the crime noir Superman. I do prefer this more galactic feel and cosmic feel of Superman that Bendis is giving us. So I guess on the next issue of Superman 11, we'll find out what this battle is all about. What are the deals Jor-El made? What are the consequences? And how does it all get cleaned up? So, as far as anything else to kind of examine in this issue, there's kind of not. I mean, really the biggest sort of thing this issue does is just explain why John is aged up and how he, you know, finishes the story of how he got back. In terms of anything to really break down, there's not much there, right? We know, according to Jor-El's own words, that he made some deals that he doesn't seem real happy that he had to make, but I guess at least it shows that he cares about John. He is, in his own way, a loving grandfather, because he never gave up searching, even though it took him many, many of his own years. I think did he mention 10 years? I think he might have mentioned that, even though it's not even that long for John. So Jor-El, because he was hopping around through time, many, many years have gone by for him. So you got to give him credit for that. Why he thought John ran away again. Bendis gives us this characterization of Jor-El where he seems like a very fragile person, very unstable, I guess is what you'd say, unhinged almost. You know, paranoia and conspiracy theory and stuff like that. Here he thinks his own grandson abandoned him. And in a way, Jor-El at first is blaming John for the fact that he has aged up so long, because he tried to take the opportunity to run away. Maybe it's just Jor-El knowing how pissed off John's parents are going to be, looking for somebody. I don't want to take the blame. It's on my fault you ran off. You know, it's his own fault that he aged up and you missed it. So kind of interesting take there as well. So love the art by Yvonne Reis and Brandon Peterson. Peterson basically handles the flashback sequences, and then everything that's in present time is all Yvonne Reis. And again, a couple of my favorite panels of Superman I've seen in a long time, and they're just pictures of Superman's face. You know, the depiction of Superman's face when he has all that pride, when John says, "Suit up, I'm ready to go back out," and the look on his face when he realizes that it's Rogol Zar, and he's asking his son, "You've been through a lot. Do you need to stay here?" Like, just the earnestness, the caring that he shows on his face. It's just, I love it. I love the line work, love the expression. It's really great. Alex Sinclair on colors. The colors are very bright, very much suits a superhero book, a cosmic book, kind of the opposite of what I was saying last time. Not that the colors on Supergirl 27 were bad, but I do think brighter colors on a Superman family book are better, because it helps to accentuate the fact that this is classic superhero storytelling. This is the Superman family. They're symbols of hope. And even in the darkest time, the universe and the world should still be bright. But, you know, that's just my my personal preference for Superman titles. So anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. As always, I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.